I haven't seen Team America World Police since it was relevant, so I'm real interested to see it again.
Oh my god, it's still great. It's still relevant.
It's not relevant anymore. Oh no, Thomas, it's matured to the point where it's not relevant anymore.
It is still very, very relevant.
Yeah, I'm not sold.
You have to watch it and go, wait, this was made before Trump? Hello and welcome to the AV Forum's 4K and Blu-ray podcast for May. Tonight I'm joined by Mark Costello.
Evening all.
Simon Crust.
I don't need a wee.
And Tom Davis.
Watcher.
For our May 4K and Blu-ray podcast, we're going to look at our top 10 list of recommended discs for the month and then deep dive into our topic of the month. Are there too many 4K releases? But first, some competitions. Win the new Project T2 Super Phono table worth $599, courtesy of Peter Sison and Henley Audio. This competition ends at midnight on the 2nd of June 2024. Previous winners, J Rule, won a set of KEF LSX2 LT wireless hi-fi speakers worth $899.
Nice.
New patrons, Arthur Yarwood, Leon Rod, and Donard Leonard. Thank you for joining and bought us a coffee, Repo Man 666, beer bottles, George Van, and someone. Thank you for buying us coffee.
There was a lot of blurb about that Project Phono turntable that you didn't go into just then, Kaz. There's a lot of details that you could have given people.
Read the review. best discs of May 2024. Mark, tell us, what was your favorite number one pick for your top 10 Blu-rays?
It was a very strange film and one that I'm kicking myself that I'd never even heard of before.
I'd never heard of it.
Considering it starred River Phoenix and Lily Taylor, this was an absolute delight. I mean, you know, I'm lucky enough that I watch a lot of discs every month. A lot of them are a bit, we'll come on to this, you know, but this was just... It was one of those films that just makes you really glad that you've seen it. It was a film ostensibly set on the eve of Vietnam, 1963. Typical sort of rom-com setup. Four Marines go out for a night to try and find the ugliest woman they can pick up, bring her back to a bar, and you know everyone laughs at her. River Phoenix picks Lily Taylor, comes back, feels bad, and before you know it, traditional rom-com shenanigans take place. But it's so much more than that. There's a real sense of melancholy, a real sense of, you know, like when you watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you got that almost wistful what if about the whole thing. What if this was our reality instead of the reality that we got? It was the same sense of that throughout this. What if the Vietnam War had only lasted the 3 months people thought it was going to instead of the near decade it did? What if it didn't ruin all those lives in such the way that it did? And it was just absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's got an absolute rubbish title, which is probably why I'd never seen it before. I mean, Dogfight.
Yeah, it doesn't really speak towards what it's about.
But honestly, it was such a pleasant surprise and it was on a great disc from Criterion and I would just urge anyone to go and see it. It was lovely.
Nice. That was your number one and your pick of the month, which, strangely enough, are not always the same thing.
Not always the same.
I just like to mess with you.
Yeah, clearly. In our top 10 list of 4K discs, we have, and I'm going to just run through these, Crimson Peak number 10, which got an overall 7 out of 10. That's from Arrow and is it his weakest film?
Probably. Or up there with Shape of Water.
Very pretty.
No, I like Shape of Water more.
So maybe.
Yeah. It's got fish in it.
It's got Doug Jones in it, that's enough.
And water. The Dreamers on 4K. I gave this an overall 8 out of 10. I did find it dangerously close to pretentious. This is a lot of people wandering around naked in it that only worked to a point. I know, Mark, you're chastising me for daring to say that, but yeah,
Oops.
it didn't work for me in me now. Maybe if I'd have watched it as a student and rewatched it now, I'd have been like, oh, this is great. But I found it a little bit
You're allowed, Kaz. You're allowed.
I'm allowed
So,
to
to feel that way about a film. It's okay. It's okay. This is a safe space.
source code. It's been out in the US for like years. It was, and they did a Arrow did a something, a remaster, which looks good, but I don't think that the US release had that many complaints about it. I don't have the US disc. It looks good for the most part, and it was
I
fun
always
to
liked it.
rewatch. I did like it. I'm not sure I would ever go jumping up and down about it being something that I have to have. I enjoyed rewatching it. You enjoyed Train to Busan, Mark.
Superb zombie
One
film.
of them.
Absolutely one of the best.
Super, absolutely superb. Rollicking thrill ride with hearts and smarts. All good. Superb 2K upscale. One for the naysayers here who goes, oh, if it's fake 4K, it's a load of rubbish. Bullshit. Watch this. It's amazing. However, don't watch this. Don't buy this disc. This and its sequel. Don't buy it. Studio Canal are fleecing you. They want 23 quid for each film when you can go and buy the US double pack with all the same stuff for 33 quid. Do that instead. Rant
Oh my
over.
Lord, you're on
Or just buy the
fire
first film and
today.
forget that last one because it's
Yeah,
pants.
you could just buy the first film and it'd probably work out cheaper. And also, we're hoping to run probably a competition for these.
Don't enter. Don't bother.
We love you, Studio Canal. The Long Good Friday. Si's just reviewed that 10 out of 10 movie.
Ah,
It's
oh,
so
mate,
good.
has to be.
I mean,
It
it's
just
what is it?
even just for the last closing 2 minutes, it's 10 out of 10 just for that bit.
It's
You don't need the
it's
rest of the film.
quality.
It's quality gangster movie. Absolutely fantastic.
I
Music,
was
performances, awesome.
pinging Simon earlier about the fact that I just discovered they'd planned on writing a sequel. The guy who wrote this was going to write a sequel. I can't remember, it was
A Short Bad Monday.
Mayday Thursday or
No,
something.
the Black Monday or something was going to be called,
Yeah,
wasn't
yeah. And it was a and it was it, it sounded like it made sense, but up until that point, I'd never, until the writer talked about how he would have proposed it, I'd never even considered it being remotely possible given those last 2 minutes.
It'll be no heat too, let's be honest. That's right.
Oh,
Just think
God.
that's coming. That's coming.
Don't even.
With Austin Butler as Val Kilmer, is that right?
I
Boy,
don't
oh
know.
boy.
I mean,
That's the
people,
least of its problems.
the casting, the actors have started coming out in response to the rumors that they're in Heat 2. I mean, it's just
Yeah.
so exhausting.
I'm not in that shit, said
Yes.
Austin Butler.
Yeah, exactly. Social media is so hilarious. It's like not even started shooting or something, and people are already coming out and going, this is my response to being told that I would make a good Robert De Niro in Heat 2.
I will deny I'm in this movie even when I'm obviously in it.
Butcher Baker, Nightmare Maker, 4K. I never thought I'd say those words. I really didn't, which comes into our topic of the month. But anyway, that got an 8 out of 10 and
That was
it made
higher
its
than
way.
Long Good Friday.
Yes.
It wasn't
What?
higher than Long Good Friday. It's just
Just
in
in the
there.
list.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
There's a lot of eights. I mean, yeah.
It's one of those long lost. I never heard of this film until I stumbled upon it on Amazon
I'm
Prime a
aware of
couple of
it.
years ago.
Never.
But it's just so wrong. It's so icky. It's so sleazy. It's delicious. Get it watched. It's amazing.
I mean, it's crazy. Well, when was it made? 83, 84?
I think it was made 2 years before it was released in 82, I think.
Oh, there are only
So, yeah.
192 other films made that year. So, really, we should have all heard of
Yeah, that's exactly right. You should have.
it. Once Upon a Time in the West, 4K. I loved rewatching this. Stone cold classic. And every time I watch this and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, they both vie for my favorite. It's really tough because I love Eastwood and I love the collaborations he did with Sergio Leone. But Once Upon a Time in the West is just tremendous. I absolutely loved it. Paramount's disc, a little bit more controversial, but you know what? It's a great movie, and it does look spectacular. It's just another one of these
It just
releases
could have been
where,
better.
yeah, you really wish you didn't have to caveat your words with these and plenty other Cameron releases we've had recently. You wish you didn't have to go, do I consider keeping my old Blu-ray? I mean, you really don't. You'll enjoy this. It's just a shame that that should even be a consideration for people in an age when we get Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker in 4K looking
Looking amazing,
tremendous. You
yeah.
know, like it's like, why?
Awesome.
What's going on? Which brings me to Crow 4K, which does look tremendous in 4K. And that was a joy revisiting. And there are no caveats. It's a fantastic upgrade.
There is a caveat. It's the remake. That's the sodding caveat.
That is the caveat.
The
We're
old
not going to talk about
Sarsgaard.
we're not going to talk about the remake
No, we're
because
not.
yeah, it's just this no.
What
I'll watch the
remake?
remake. Oh, well, I'm up for that.
Are they
I
making
don't.
too many films? Yes.
No. No. It's time. There's time. There's space for a Crow remake. Why not?
Oh, I don't know. I
Just
don't
not
know.
that one.
Yeah, I think that's possibly true. Obar did a lot of different stories, and they could have gone with a different crow. I don't know whether they needed to remake this one. This one. This
Yeah,
one's.
bring Eddie Furlong back. What's he doing? Honestly, I'm sure he could whip himself into shape. You know, give him a couple of months. He'll be
Wait,
fine. Didn't
I'm
they bring him
interested in
back and
that.
then kill him again? I don't know. Anyway, the top choices for the month, we haven't actually got the discs into review. Dune Part 2 4K is on its way in. I'm expecting it to be just reference, utterly reference, but for the
No
fact
IMAX.
that
It's not
it's
in
no
IMAX, yeah.
IMAX. I mean, sure. I just don't know how much I can complain about that though, because I watched it in IMAX. It looked fantastic in IMAX. But you know, the first part wasn't IMAX on the disc, and we're just gonna have to live with it to some extent,
Yeah,
rather
man
than
up,
scoring it
Harlow,
down.
man up.
I'm gonna give it an 11. So there. Is that man enough? In fact, I put down on the list
All round.
Navy SEALs 4K is the top choice,
Course it
just for
is.
you, Mark. Just
Course
for
it
you.
is.
And
Oh,
I gave
man.
that a 12 out of 10. Predictive, of course. It could be higher.
And you know what, Kaz? When both copies arrive, I'm going to open both and watch both before I send you yours. I'm going to
That's
watch your version
put your
before
fingerprints on
you do.
it.
Oh, I'm going to lick the
Make
disc. Oh, yeah, you name it. I'm going to do all that, mate. And then I'll get it out in the post to you. Don't worry. I'm sure it'll be fine.
He's not joking.
Oh dear.
Oh,
I don't know. There's a
yeah,
random segue. Please read the best Netflix drama movies article because that entirely relates to our discussion here. Anyway, go away and read that. Not right
almost as good
now
as
because we're
Navy
not
SEALs.
done. But yeah, what's coming to 4K, Mark?
Oh, well, in prepping for the rest of our follow-up, what isn't coming to 4K, Kaz? Yes, although I think the
Terminator.
stuff.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's coming. Don't forget, it's
At
coming.
some point, at some
I
point.
think, yeah, next year. Next year.
Is it next year?
Well,
Wild
no,
Bunch.
I reckon they're saving it for October. But anyway, I digress. We, after a good few months where we've got huge amounts of announcements, it's starting to thin out a bit. I think the labels are starting to prepare for summer, the summer lull. So not as many announcements as we normally get. So starting over in the US, smattering of cinema classics are coming. The Last Emperor from Criterion. I mean, what they've been doing for the last couple of years. Arrow did it a year ago. That's coming on August 13th. We've got a couple of Albert Brooks' Deadpan dramedies coming, Real Life and Mother at the end of August. Whereas Sony, in an interesting move, are releasing Orson Welles' The Lady from Shanghai.
Ooh.
Ooh, I'd have had that nailed on for a Classics Collection Volume 5 inclusion, but there you have it. That's coming on July 23rd. And some other major studio releases are coming. We've got Nightmare on Elm Street, the original Purple Rain and Twister from Warner Brothers. We've got The General's Daughter, Election, and most importantly, the SpongeBob SquarePants movie from Paramount. And newer films such as Godzilla X Kong. The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare and Alex Garland's Civil War are all coming before the middle of July. However, most interesting in the States is Kino Lorber's announcement of the 4K of Don Siegel's original Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Oh. Now, that's on June 25th. And don't forget, we've had so many piss-poor home releases of this because we've been told the camera negative and the source materials are in such poor state. So God knows what this 4K is going to look like, but I'm sure we'll all buy it with bated breath.
Release delayed.
Who knows? But there's some good international announcements coming as well. So Ted Kotcheff's amazing Ozploitation classic Waking Fright is coming from Umbrella, and the minor EMI Elstree Jam and soon The Darkness is on its way from German label Camera Obscura. So bringing it back home to Blighty, Second Sight have announced A Bittersweet Life on the 22nd of July. Paramount UK are bringing us Puppetsploitationer. I'm coining that term. That's mine. Team America World Police at the end of June and Dev Patel's Monkey Man on the 8th of July. Whereas finally, our own 88 films have been very quiet on the announcement front, with just Guy Ritchie's Man from U.N.C.L.E. from the former and, as typical for them, a smattering of Hong Kong fight flicks from the latter, Fist of Legend and To Kill with Intrigue. So yeah, it looks like the summer lull is in full effect. But as ever, head over to the 4K forums, where our resident man on the inside, Red Devil 85, knows everything about everything when it comes to release schedules. So check it out.
Very nice. Mm. I'm still scratching my head over Paramount's back catalogue choices. General's Daughter. I mean, I like General's Daughter, but
Election is good. Election's real good.
General's Daughter?
You're burying the lead, though. They're giving us Team America World Police, though.
In the UK, yes. That's tremendous news.
I haven't seen Team America World Police since it was relevant, so I'm real interested to see it again.
It's still relevant.
It's not relevant anymore. Oh, no, Thomas. It's matured to the point where it's not relevant anymore.
It is still very, very relevant.
I'm not sold. I'm not sold.
You have to watch it and go, wait, this was made before Trump? it's
Yeah, but it's got a real, like, but actually America are the good guys bit at the end, which I think is going to fly less well these days, right? The speech about... I can't repeat it.
I mean, I'm not sure I came out of that movie feeling like that was the honest punchline to that. Not that they blew up Paris, but...
I'll give it another go.
Yes. Okay, which brings us to our physical media discussion. Are there too many 4K releases?
No.
Okay, that's
good.
Great.
Sometimes,
yeah. So I suppose the point of this is we've had a lot. This is in response, perhaps, because when these titles, I mean, you mentioned Red Devil, Mark. When these titles get put up on the forums as announced, all of these new titles, they get a listing on the forums. This is coming soon. Artwork, TBC, this so-and-so studio are releasing it, US, UK, whatever it is. We get a number of people on the forum who immediately comment, why? Like, what's this? Why is this coming to 4K? You know, straight away, knee-jerk reaction. And looking at the list, I can almost see the reaction. I mean, but for the fact that it's entirely unnecessary. But, you know, a lot of niche horrors have come out.
Very strange stuff.
Severin's launched in with this Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker. Not heard of it. I'd not heard of Bad Biology. I'd not heard of Nightmares in a Damaged Brain. AC8 is doing more traditional classic horror, but still, I'd not heard of Blade in the Dark. I'd heard of Blood on Satan's Call, obviously Witchfinder General and Amityville Horror. But still, you know, that's a lot. And Arrow's given us Basket Case and City of the Living Dead. And no way did I not assume City of the Living Dead was part of the other sort of Day of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead, Something Dead. You know, what? And I'm reading your review and I'm going, wait, what? So there's a lot of very niche stuff that's coming out on 4K. So I can see the idea that there's maybe too many. And I think that it really, for me, it just shows how it just shows the legs in the format. In a format which a few podcasts ago, and by a few podcasts ago, I mean 2 or 3 years ago, our conversation would have been, this is the final format. Is 4K going to survive? Is it down to, stop making players? Are they going to keep the releases have dried up? Do you remember COVID time releases? We were checking the releases. There weren't many big releases coming out. There wasn't much coming out. All of a sudden, these are just from this year, like 10 niche horror titles on 4K this year. I mean, what
But
kind of.
the people who buy 4K discs are niche people, you know? They still sell model trains, and that business is going fine. And like 4K
I like
is
model
not
trains.
that far away from, in terms of like a niche interest, being honest, like this is not what people are like, you know, Joe Public is not obsessing over 4K release dates. Like
No.
we are, but we are a niche people.
Very,
And so
very,
niche titles for a niche people, that makes sense.
very, very true, Tom. And I think what's interesting about that list you said there, Kaz, Nightmares in a Damaged Brain, Blade in the Dark. Basket Case, City of the Living Dead, even Alligator. This isn't their first time round the physical media rodeo. These films have got legs on DVD, multiple releases on Blu-ray. You could almost argue that these are the sure things. These small niche titles are, in essence, the sure things of the current, as Tom said, niche market. It's really interesting because you're right. To a casual fan, those films are what? But there's got to be a reason why Arrow are, God damn it, they're releasing Dario Argento films 3, 4, 5, 6 times. These teeny tiny Italian horror films, are on their third go round and still people are buying them. So I think that what we're looking at now isn't necessarily some glorious explosion of niche titles. I think what we are seeing labels and boutiques mining their back catalog of titles they've already got access
What
to.
they've
And
got the licenses to
yeah.
these, and that's
And not just that, but
Yeah, I agree.
recognizing like our market is the people who like this stuff. The people who want to see these like things restored and looking the best are the people who like the cult stuff, the people who like the stuff that's more out there. They want to see the grimy shit they watched as a teenager, like looking as good as it can look. And they're right. And so the people who are buying it are buying it. All of these
But
nonsense.
isn't that also weird that all of these titles are getting, I mean, I'm generalizing, but pretty much all of these that I'm reading on this list have been reviewed pretty favorably on the video front. That they've all been handled pretty well, considering at least a few of them came from pretty shoddy sources. How are we getting lovely, gorgeous, limited edition, restored, remastered 4K releases for these? And the bigger hits are, let's say, more controversial.
It's what Tom said. It's the audience. The audience is different. The audience who wants to see these grotsploitationers wants to see them looking as grotty as they did on the 42nd Street Grindhouse or on that shitty VHS they first saw.
But they're
That's what
not
they
as
want.
grotty as that, are they? They're
Yeah, they
Texas.
are.
Some
Yeah,
of
but
them
they're
are.
not. Oh, yeah,
Aren't
they.
some of them are.
But aren't they like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like a proper 4K remaster that honors that vision, but it's not grotty like the way I watched T2 on really bad VHS back in the
No,
day.
it's not. But at the end of the day, it's back to those film fans, the people who want to see this, want to see the film as it was. They want to see it the best. The people who are getting the mass market audience for the James Cameron films, shall we say, the more controversial
Don't care, they
releases,
don't care, do they?
don't care. They want it looking clean, shiny, nice, new.
You
And,
say that, but wouldn't they just get it on digital? Wouldn't the mass market not even have a 4K player?
Not necessarily, because I think we're in danger of talking about two ends of the extreme here. You know, the disc buyers who only buy disc, and streaming is, you know, the spawn of Satan. And we have streamers who wouldn't even dream of getting their ass off the couch to put a disc in a tray. You know, the reality is there is a whole sort of gradient in between. There are people who will buy their favorite films on disc and yet quite happily go and sit in front of Netflix dross and drop £3 on an iTunes purchase. So I think this is what's
which
interesting.
Is us.
Well, you say this, but I think that this is where the market is going. The market is finding its niche. And I think, interestingly enough, on 4K, the niche of these horrors. But if you go down to 1080p and just look at Blu-ray, for me, I mean, Jesus Christ, if I have to watch another sodding 70s Hong Kong movie for these monthly top tens, I swear I'm going to go insane. That, to me...
It's funny you should say that, because I went to the post today.
I bet you did, you swine. But so now don't get me wrong. I have, you know, the Shorescape box set up there, and I do love a good 70s Hong Kong movie. But my God, there's new ones coming out every week. And, you know, that's not my jam. I didn't grow up watching these films, so I don't have any history of them. But to me, that's the side of the market which baffles me. And that's the what. So while you look at that, Kaz, and look at that horror list and go, that baffles me.
I don't know whether this doesn't baffle me. This makes me rejoice. If it does anything for me, it makes me a little bit annoyed that there aren't more Seagal films on 4K.
Yeah, you're right. You know, the more they branch out into like your weird kid obsession, the better they're going to do.
Yes.
Like
is how it feels for me. Pick a weird thing that no one else in the world likes, like Seagal for me, or Van Damme for that matter. You know, give him a break. You know, give me a few more of those titles on 4K, and I'll happily lap them up.
Yeah, like I am imagining at some point we will see. At the moment, Mark's right. We're getting like the Hong Kong, the 70s Hong Kong movies in abundance. We'll get the same for all the god-awful like 50s and 60s westerns at some point. I guarantee it, because somebody will go like, that's the thing that I want, and that's the thing that will sell to a small subset of the market, and we can guarantee we'll get our money back. And that sort of brings me around to what you said at the beginning, which is people say like, well, why this on 4K? Which is almost always followed up with a, why this on 4K and not this thing that I want? Which is like, I mean, sometimes it's like, just shut up and this is what's out. Like, but also sometimes it's like, this is what is available. It's important to some people. It's a guaranteed sale to a small group of people. Mm. And there are not a bunch of like corporate egos and money counters involved in the restoration and reproduction of it, which is what is probably involved in that big title that you really want, which is why we've seen like the Jim Cameron stuff delayed for so many years.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And I think, Kaz, you know, you're spot on. When it comes to the discs, 99 times out of 100, you can't have too much of this niche stuff. You just can't. However, there is always that nagging doubt, though. We keep hearing this a lot. There is not an endless replication supply. There is only so much replication capacity that we are hearing. You know, if you believe the internet scuttlebutt, that one Blu-ray plant in Mexico that has to service the entire of the North American market is creaking. Its QA is absolutely non-existent. You look over there, the amount of scratch discs that aren't playing that are coming out, and all of that is down to that limited reproduction capacity. And to me, that's the only slight niggle with all of this, because it might very well be, Tom, as you've said, at this moment in time, we're getting all these Hong Kong 70s stuff over here, but that is actively stopping us getting something else over here at this moment in time. And, you know, I suppose it's the same with most things. You know, there's not an unlimited supply of everything, of course, But I think that for me is that only niggle here. You know, for me, why am I having to watch another bloody 70s Hong Kong film when I'm not? Why haven't I got Ice Pirates on 4K, goddammit? Or BMX Bandits?
Well, interesting. We have a lot of contacts with some pretty niche studios. I mean, we have contacts with Severin and 88 Films, all of these boutique labels who've branched out into 4K relatively recently. And I was talking to one of them who'd founded one of these labels, and he said that his choice of films almost entirely came out of budget. He picked a genre that was affordable, and he picked titles which were down to what he could get in and which would supply him with a regular stream of licensable content. That's all it came down to. I mean, it was a genre he loved. And it's not like he did it to just pick bad films. He picked a genre he loved, but he accepted everything that genre had to offer, good and bad, just everything to release under that format. And I think that also comes into
Don't
play
name
for
it.
All of this.
So interestingly enough, Kaz, let's just stick a pin in that and take it back to our last conversation on the last poddy about, are there too many movies? How do we find what to watch? I think I mentioned this a few poddies ago. If you look at these boutique labels now and the release schedules, they're almost like a curated service in and of themselves. So we talk about those Hong Kong films. You watch one and you go, hey, did you like that? Well, Eureka are releasing 77 more of them, and they're all coming. And you know, you look at these for these horrors, they're the same. So these are, if you like, they're almost, it seems weird, they are like a physical manifestation of the streaming algorithm.
Yes.
You like this? There'll be another one along soon.
There'll be another one.
And another one along soon.
Interesting. You were talking about Blu-rays favouring Hong Kong movies. We've got Eureka, their latest 4K, is called The Valiant Ones. And for some reason, I thought it was a war movie. I'd never heard of it before. I just had it down as a war movie.
Western, huh?
No, it's a 1975 Wuxia film, Wuxia classic.
Oh, really?
So, like, they might be taking their love of 70s martial arts to 4K.
Yeah.
So, Mark, you get to revisit all of these titles in 4K.
Sod off, Harley. No, I would gladly watch it. But it is interesting. I mean, go back, say, I don't know, 10 years, and I look at what 88 Films did with their collections. They had the Slasher Collection. You can see them there, those red films there. That is the 88 Films Slasher Collection. Next to it was the Italian Collection. Now, I'd heard of a few of those, so I'd buy them, and I'd spot another one, and I'd buy that. Oh, that was all right. Let's see what else is coming. And suddenly I'd started to buy the collection, even though I'd never heard of the film, didn't know anything about it, but I'd just buy it because it was next to the collection. Some of them are crap, some of them are amazing, some of them are, you know, they're all right. But it was a fantastic way of curating your interest in more of these niche titles. So that to me is where, you know, when we look at all these niche titles, yes, of course there's a plethora of them, and you know, it looks like they're snowballing. But it's exactly as I think you'd all said, that if you like one, there'll be another one coming along, and then there'll be another one, and there'll be another one. And it acts like that curation service, hooking you into the... You can look at it from a pure business perspective and a pure market perspective. If you like one, you'll like 100. Get your wallets out, kind of thing. But then again, from a film perspective, I had never seen an Italian film until I started to watch all that crap, you know, up there, the 88 Films came to it. And now I will hoover any old Italian crap up, quite frankly. Giallo, Polizieteschi, you name it. I'll have them all.
Still never seen anything by Fellini.
Maybe.
While all this is going on with 88 Films, Paramount are releasing The General's Daughter, and like next month they're going to announce A Civil Action, and then the month after they're going to go with John Travolta's Basic, and they're just going to go through John Travolta's mid-tier But you know, legal soldier dramas, aren't they? That's their niche. And you know what? I'll probably buy them all. Okay, I know.
Exactly.
I'll probably buy
That's
them all.
the
Yeah, I get
point.
it. I
Yeah.
get it.
That's
Yes,
that's
so
the point.
annoying
So
because I've got them all on Blu-ray.
but bringing this back to the original question, do we think there are too many 4K releases? I think what's interestingly enough, Kaz, we haven't got to the bit in the running order that you mentioned, which is why are all these niche titles getting 4K when there are
Yes,
big
yes.
Oscar-winning films like Zone of Interest, Iron Claw, not getting a 4K?
Anatomy of a Fall. Yeah, there's some big
Now,
ones. And what is the American Fiction?
so again, and I think it comes down to the market. I think the people who will watch those films will quite gladly grab them on streaming. They will not go out and drop 25 quid for them
I'd agree with
on
that. Yeah.
disc. I'd agree with
They're going
that.
to wait for them to become known as classics before they risk the physical, like the full physical release for it, definitely.
Which made the holdovers from Dazzler, a real anomaly, because that was Dazzler's, was that Dazzler's first 4K?
Second,
Is it their
they
second?
did. Oh, you reviewed it, Simon.
I did.
Dear Evan Hansen.
Yes.
No way.
What glorious that
Blimey, Charlie.
was.
I suppose again, but what we've got to look at it is, do we think that those films didn't get a 4K because those that replication capacity is too busy churning out all that Severin shit, the 88 film shit? And I think the answer is no. I don't think that's the reason those are not getting a 4K release. I think it's because the audience and the market are
That's slightly
completely
different, yeah.
different.
Definitely don't think it's the same audience that require that. But interestingly, I hear the holdovers has done pretty well. So I wonder
Good.
whether, as a result of that, maybe labels like Dazzler will get more Zone of Interest, Iron Claws. Maybe they'll get more of those. Maybe there'll be room for that because none of the big labels are really thinking about these warranting a release.
No,
So.
true, but again, think about just look at Crimson Peak, the new Crimson Peak release. All right. Now, obviously, you've got the big name, you've got the genre, but what you've got is a film that lends itself to the handsome packaging, the luxury. That is a release, and we only got sent the check disc, and I'm half tempted to pick up the full release because the box looks amazing. But that is a film that screams lavish packaging, extras worth dropping 30 quid on.
Just not the
Film
movie.
aside,
Yeah, I was going to say, you want a box, I can get you a box for
whereas the Iron Claw comes out, what's it going to come with? In a box with a pair of soiled undercrackers?
No, a box with like a bottle of antidepressants is what you need with the Iron Claw.
Probably.
So
I
it's
don't
one
want to
that
think about the box for Zone of Interest. That's.
it's almost like that it's the type of film, the genre, the filmmaker, the
Yeah.
reputation, you name it, all of that goes into, is it worthy of something which someone is going to drop serious coinage on? So I think it's never quite that simple, but I think coming back to it, I think this is just an absolutely raucous time to be a physical media fan. There's so much of it. So the only thing that's annoying me at the moment in time is I think the market's slowly maturing to the point where just prices are creeping up. Those
Yeah.
two
Yeah,
disc
prices.
sets we used to get are now becoming a one disc set. And remember when we always said, I'd just take the Blu-ray out and charge me 5 quid less for my 4K. What are the studios doing? They're taking the Blu-ray out and charging 5 quid more
Five
for
pound
it.
more,
Yeah,
yeah. They are. Yeah.
So that's the only thing that's starting to really grate. Studio Canal, you bastards.
Interestingly,
Wow.
I would
Really,
say
really going in for Studio Canal today.
you are not liking them, are you? All because of
God,
Peninsula.
God damn. Four featurettes, 8 minutes. Piss off.
Oh my God.
Honestly.
Life is not that bad. But anyway,
You sent it me, you swine.
yes, I
Anyway,
did. I
cool
did.
wet grass, cool wet grass, cool wet
I
grass, cool wet grass.
is that your happy place? Cool wet grass?
No, it was. I don't know. Used to watch that crazy program, Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World, back in the day. Tom wasn't even born by then, so he's just looking weird. But they had an episode on the Firewalkers.
Yes.
And they took these Western tourists and they said, anyone can do it. All you need to do is close your eyes and chant Cool Wet Grass, Cool Wet Grass, Cool Wet Grass. And they did, and Cool Wet Grass, Cool Wet Grass. And these people just walked across fire. So it always has stuck with me that Cool Wet Grass, Cool Wet Grass, Cool Wet Grass. Anyway,
okay,
back to discs.
That sounds great. I would say that after the last podcast where we talked about there being too many movies, I wonder when these two situations kind of clash, because I can imagine we're talking about like things like Zone of Interest and Anatomy of a Fall, more prominent, I'm going to say independent movies, Oscar recognized but independent movies, more prominent ones are starting to not get 4K releases. But they're actually, if you're going to make, you know, 6,000 movies in a year and not even release the more prominent ones, I wonder when any of those will come out. There are quite a few on there. I mean, we talked about The Outpost on there, and you can pick The Outpost up on 4K. I think the director's cut, I believe.
Okay, bear with me, Kaz.
But you can't get a lot of other titles on there, particularly the ones that are streaming exclusives, which is interesting.
It is, but bear with me. Ten years from now, Arrow announced their super duper box set. Rebel Moon Part 1 and 2. Four cuts of the two films, 19 hours of behind-the-scenes documentaries in a package that shapes like, I haven't even watched the bloody film, but shaped like some wheat, for Christ's sake.
Oh, you could get some grain in the box, couldn't you?
There you go.
I think grain in the box. I think a little crystal, really heavy one to make the postage expensive, with a single tiny piece of grain inside the center.
Laser-engraved grain.
Perfect. Yeah. 50 quid. I'll be slapping my cash down for it.
£50?
No.
Maybe one of those lenticular things where you change it and it looks like the grain is moving in slow motion.
Anyway.
As you turn it, it's kind of falling.
No, but the point being is we laugh at that idea now.
I think it's a farcical idea, Mark, that you think that there would be only two Rebel Moons in 10 years' time. I think it's absolute fiction. No, I love it. No, you lost me at part one and part two. I was like, where's part three, four, five, and six? I mean, come on. But
the point being is, in 10 years, for all we know, it could become the cultiest cult classic of all time. You know, it could pick up a following. Battlefield Earth. By the way, Arrow did Battlefield Earth. I'd be up for that.
Yeah, me too, man.
You know, so
I would get that in 4K, 100%.
So
yeah, but Battlefield Earth makes Rebel Moon look
Battlefield Earth is at least hilarious, whereas Rebel Moon is dire.
Yes, Battlefield Earth is hilariously bad.
So
bad it's good, but Rebel Moon is so bad it's bad.
So my point being is,
it's never going to be anyone's classic. It's never going to be.
Just,
no,
all right, get off Rebel Moon. Get off Rebel Moon.
You started.
So, but my point being is that now, like I've said, the boutique labels now are mining their own back catalogs. But there's going to come a point where even I will not buy yet another Dario Argento 4K re-release. So then these labels will have to look elsewhere, by which time will have moved on, and that's when they'll start picking up some of these lesser, smaller films. That'll be the point where the streamers decide to, holy crap, subscribers are plateauing out. We need more income streams. I know, we'll start to license out our own stuff.
It'll be the next format. It'll be 8K holograms. That's what they'll be releasing.
It's going to be end of days when Arrow release a box set of Rebel Moons. It's going to be the actual apocalypse, okay?
Well, fair enough. But to your point, in the US, they did have a Target exclusive 4K of Stranger Things, the first two series.
Now, yes. Criterion did Uncut Gems?
Yeah, and Roma as well.
So there are
I can see it. I can see it.
Coming out. And again, Give it time. Give it time. These films will pick up a following. Suddenly you'll have enough distance to justify getting a beardy academic in to talk for 20 minutes about the cultural importance of this film.
A week.
Yeah, no, that's it. You know, absolutely.
And before you know it, it's a, you know, 2-disc Super Duper's 10th anniversary box set. Everyone's buying it. So I think it's natural that
they've got to wait and see. Are the weirdos going to buy it?
Exactly.
Are the weirdos going to buy it? Yeah, we'll put it on 4K.
Love it.
Exactly.
Nice.
You can't have too much 4K apart from Hong Kong 70s shit. Just
I think we already knew that. We really did. And just some people didn't.
Oh, we don't, Kaz. Nice. Can we go home yet?
I think we are. I think we
Thanks
are.
For that.
That is it for the Discs podcast. My thanks to the movies team. If you've enjoyed the podcast, give us a like and subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell so you don't miss out when we publish our live streams, product reviews, and more. If you really like the podcast, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/AVForums. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and bookmark AVForums.com for the latest reviews, news, and videos. Plus, why not leave us a 5-star rating on whichever service you choose if they allow it, but only if you enjoyed the show. Thank you for watching and listening. Join us for another podcast in a month's time.
Toodle pip!